Now, don't take too long back there for the classes, because I'm going to surprise everybody this morning.
Here you go. Is that your water sign?
No.
Okay, yes it is. It's been here a while, I think.
Now, whether you believe it or not. I'll tell you what, this, what I did, what a little bit I said last Sunday and what I've got to say today is all of offspring of Sister Shirley's message about the lady at the well. And I just want to remind you something. Did you see that? Now, a few weeks ago, I'd have had to left that land there. Because I wouldn't have been able to have been over and picked it up and straightened back up.
3 weeks ago, you wouldn't have ended up on that floor.
No, I wouldn't have.
Thank you, Lord.
I would. Sorry.
But you know, there's a saying. It's kind of, it's a common saying. A lot of times it doesn't matter what you know. It's who you know. And in our, and in the case of our lives and our future and our eternity, it's not what we know. It's who we know. And in John's Gospel, chapter 4, and I'll just, if you want to turn there, that's fine. I'm going somewhere else when I'm finished with that. But that's where the story of the woman of the well that Jesus ministered to and that I shared with last week for a few minutes. And on the two scriptures that I want to remind you of is verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." And there's people out here in the world, and you're going to be talking to them, and the Spirit of God is going to spur something or spurn something in you. And you're going to say something to them, and it's going to plant a seed, just like Piccolo said earlier. And they're going to begin thinking about it. But you know, it doesn't matter how well they may get to know you. It doesn't matter how well they think of you. That has a limit. And it'll only do so much for you. But they have got to do something more than just believing in God because you told them. And then the next verse is verse 42. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe." One was now. Now we believe. It was after they had encountered Jesus himself. Now we believe. Not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. For we ourselves have heard him. Do you hear him? Have you heard him? That's my king. Do you know him? Or do you just know he's my king? It would be nice if we could just go out here, Ricardo, and tell people, now, he's my king. You know him. We can't do that. I can't know something for you. I can only know something for me. Now, I can hear you say something. I can repeat what you said. I can believe what you said. But I have to come to a realization that I know it. I got to know. You know, because you trust people, you believe that there's a Grand Canyon. You've seen pictures of it. Probably videos of it. You've heard people talk about it. And you know all about it because of what other people have said. But I know it. I've been there and I saw it. And being there and seeing it is much different than hearing somebody tell about it or seeing a picture of it. It's a much more awesome encounter to stand on the rim of that canyon and look out across it and think, dear Lord, how in the world could something like this be? Because I got to know it. We have heard him, and listen to what they said, and we know. And we know. How did they know? They knew because they heard him. They just didn't hear the woman telling about him. That got their interest stirred up. That sparked them a little bit. But when they had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and you know what Jesus is, he is the Word of God made flesh. And when he shared with them, when he spoke to them, when what he had was imparted to them, they said, now we know. Now we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. All because of a woman coming to the well to get a bucket of water. And she met somebody that she didn't even know at the time. But she got to know him. Now, here's the question. It's the point that this message hangs on. How do I know that I know him? How do I know that I know him? You know, we live in a world of extremes. You can go extremely to this side on one subject and extremely to that side on the other subject. And since we're talking about Jesus and talking about the Word of God, you can read the Word of God and you can swing that word so far to the left or so far to the right that you get completely out of the context and the concept of what the Word really is saying. On the one side, you can swing so far to being right. You know, you want to be right. You want to live right. You want to do right. You want to act right. You want to. And finally, what ends up is that you're judging yourself. And you're judging how you think God feels about you by what you are doing. He didn't come down here to die for you because you were doing right. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there are people in churches today that are in bondage. And I'll just put it to the law. Doesn't matter how much Jesus did. Hung on that cross and bled. Paul said, if you're justified by what you're doing, then Jesus died for no reason. And on the other side, you can get to the point where you can say, oh, we're saved by grace. It's God's grace that saved us, and we don't need to do anything. And we can just, you know, God's going to take care of it. And even to the point where, you know, Jesus died for everybody, so everybody's going to go to heaven eventually, you know, regardless of how they live. And you've gone off the ditch on that side, into the ditch on that side of the road. by thinking that because of God's grace, it doesn't matter how you live. Still, that's not a matter of works. But it is important how you live, because how you live, now catch this, how you live indicates whether or not you know Him.
That's right. Come on, there you go. That's good.
You don't get to know Him by the way you live, but knowing Him will change the way you live. 1 John chapter 2. No? Yeah, 1 John chapter 2. By this, verse 3, by this we know that we know Him. See, you can't just hope you know Him. You either know you know Him or you don't know Him. Now by this we know that we know Him. How do we know that we know Him? He said, if we keep His commandments. Now your relationship with Jesus is not based on you keeping the commandments. But Jesus' relationship with you, when you know Him, will affect how well you keep His commandments. And you won't be perfect. You won't live a perfect life. But you'll be faultless. And you won't be faultless because you earned it either. You'll be faultless because that's what Jesus Christ did when He shed His blood. He made us faultless. Who is able to make you stand faultless before God. And you're not going to be able to make yourself stand faultless before God. But Jesus did. Blood of Jesus covered my life. To know Him. To know Him. To know Him is to love Him. He who says, I know Him. Now we're not talking about knowing about Him. We're not talking about being in church. We're not talking about being raised up around religion. We're talking about knowing Him. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now you see, don't read it backwards like a lot of people do. The emphasis is not on what you do. The emphasis is on what you know. You know that you know. Do you know, because I know Him, because I understand Him, because He's my King and I know Him, you know what that makes me want to do? It makes me want to do everything I can to please Him. Do I always do it? No. Do I do stupid stuff sometimes? Yeah. Do I think wrong thoughts sometimes? Yes. Do I make bad decisions sometimes? Yes. A lot less now than 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Why? Because I'm maturing. I'm knowing more. I'm finding out more about Him. But I have that desire. And if a person says, well, I'm saved by grace, and they live any way they want to, they don't know Him. They may know about Him. They may know that you're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it said, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Same scripture, a couple of verses later, Ephesians chapter 2. Now, that's where it is. I'm not going there, but we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. We are what we are when we become different. And I'll just use this example. I knew Ricardo, well, I didn't really like what he was doing. I knew him, and we got to know him a little better after he married Miriam. So you can hide certain things for a while, but then what you are starts to show up. And I know what he was. And I know what he is now. And I know why. Because he met somebody. And when he met them, he knew them. He heard directly from him. Now, some of the things he heard from him may have come through my mouth, but a lot of stuff that he heard from him just came from the Lord. I told him one day, sitting on the back step, I said, "Son, one of these days, God's going to get your attention." And boy, he did. But you know, he had to know him. He doesn't have the relationship that he's got with God now because of me. He has the relationship he has because of his relationship and knowing God and Jesus Christ. I may have sowed some seed and I may be helping him along, and that's true of all of you. Because you sit and listen to me every Sunday doesn't mean you know God. Doesn't mean you know Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, if you've been here sitting very long, you know about him. And you can't know about him too much without coming to the point where you're going to do something. You're either going to know him or you're going to run. And we've had both things happen over the years we've been here as a church. But I tell you what, just like I said earlier, people come and they visited our church. Oh, I just felt the Spirit of God there so strongly. Which was like this in my church. And you want to say, if there's nothing going on in church, why are you going there? Well, that's where I was raised. That's where my parents go. My grandparents went there. My great-grandpa gave the land for him to build the church. Now, you're not going to stand before God one of these days and God say, "Well, son, because your great-grandpa gave the land for that church, I'm going to let you into heaven." We're going to get there because we know him. But, verse 5, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Means that perfected means to complete, accomplish, carry through to the end. Bring to a successful conclusion. Now, your life's fraught with problems right now. More than likely, you're going to have to face a problem this week. You're going to have to face something that you're going to have to deal with. And it's not going to be something that's going to be fun. But it says, carry through to the end. Bring to a successful conclusion. I'm not giving up on, I am not giving up because of what I have gone through that I didn't like. In the last 4 or 5 years, I've been through a whole lot of stuff that I didn't like, including being dead. But I know one thing, he said it would come to a successful conclusion. And that's where my hope lies. And that's what the love of God being perfected in him. Now, let me tell you something else. Don't misread that verse either. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. God loves you as much right now as he's ever going to love you. And that's a bunch. Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and you're one of the world. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much he loves you. Nothing you do is going to make him love you less. Nothing you do is going to make him love you more. But what you do will cause you to love him more, or it'll cause you to love him less. It's on us. the love of God is perfected in us. We stay in His Word, we get to love Him. I love God now a whole lot better than I loved Him back before. I didn't understand a lot of things about Him. Went through the thing, you know, I mean, I went through the teaching, well, you know, whatever happens, you know, God did it for a purpose. He did it for a reason. Their little boy got run over by a car and killed when he was 2 years old. God had a reason for it. The Bible doesn't say that. God is not the thief. God is not the killer. Well, the Bible says all things work out for good. All things work out for good because God brings a successful conclusion, but that does not mean that God caused it. When our boy was a little fella, we lived close to a pretty well-traveled highway when we passed in Casey County. And the yard was right at the road, and he was 2 years old. And I don't know how many times I told that little fella, don't you get in that road. Don't let me catch you in that road. And we got him a little puppy from somewhere. I don't remember, but it was a pretty little thing. I don't think we had it. I don't know if we had it overnight. We sure didn't have it more than 2 or 3 days. I looked out the front door one day and that little puppy was laying in the middle of that road dead. Somebody had come along and I don't know, well, we had to go out there and get the puppy. And Scott went with me. He just a little felt like I said, 2 years old or thereabouts. And I told him right there, I said, son, this is why I told you not to get in the road. See what happened? Now, did I run over that puppy just because he got out there in the road he wasn't supposed to? No. To this day, I don't know who ran over him, but it wasn't me. And I didn't set it up. And yet there are people that's the way they view God. You know, whatever happens, God set it up for some reason. And I said, it makes about as much sense as me telling Scott, stay out of the road, stay out of the road, stay out of the road. And then he gets in the road one day and he gets hit by a car and he's hurt real bad and he's laying there and he says, Daddy, why'd you run over me with the car? He said, you kept telling me that if I got in the road, I was going to probably get run over. And him laying there, you know, and blaming or giving me the credit for running over him with a car just because I had been telling him all along, don't get in the road, don't get in the road, don't get in the road. And God's Word tells us exactly how to live. It tells us the choices to make. The Word of God directs our paths. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And yet we don't stay in the path. We don't follow the light. And then something happens, and God gets the blame. And it makes as much sense to blame God for something like that as it would have made sense for Scott to blame me for running over him with a car simply because I kept telling him to stay out of the road and he wouldn't. But when you get to know Him, you know that He's with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But you know, it would be really nice if we didn't have anything involved in our lives except what God wanted. But you see, we live in an imperfect world that's still in the process of being redeemed. And we are at war with the enemy. And sometimes there are casualties that we can't do anything about. Sometimes we make a choice. I've lived the last 55 years. I lived the last 55 years with one hand. And God didn't do that. God didn't, when I was 15 years old, say, well, my purpose in life, I've got to cut your hand off. I was in the wrong place doing the wrong thing, and I wasn't doing anything necessarily bad. But something happened. God didn't shove me off that cliff. He didn't jerk my feet out from under me and cause me to fall. But it happened. And God has sustained me through it all. And I learned to live with it, and I haven't let it detract from what I can do, except the things that I didn't want to do to begin with. Now I had an excuse. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. You can know how you are. You can know that you're in him when you start examining yourself. That's what Paul said, examine yourself. Not to see that you can act better so God will love you better, but examine yourself to see if God really is living in you. See if you really know him. If you say you know him and you don't live like it, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Knowing him will change you. Grace does not forgive sin. Grace changes lives. Now it forgives sins, but God forgives the sin. Brother Jesus Christ took care of your sins. Grace is a power to live with what you've been given. It's not just God saying, okay, I'll turn my head the other way and I'll not look at it. You're going to pay the consequences for dumb stuff. You know, if I'm up on the roof over here and I fall off the roof, I'm going to take the consequences unless there's a miracle. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But if we would do more of what the Word of God says, we'd have to spend less time hoping for miracles. You're not going to take off in an airplane where you got 5 minutes worth of gas and you're planning on going 30 miles or 30 minutes. You're just not going to do it. You're going to make preparation. But a lot of times we don't do that. We think about something and impulsively we just jump right in it. I look around at the world. I listen to the news, all these kind of things. And you look at people's lifestyles and the choices they make. And then you think, no wonder things are so messed up for you. It's not a matter that God doesn't love you. It's a matter that you've made some choices. You chose to do some things, and they're coming back on you. The consequences will return. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And it's not a matter of improving our performance. It's a matter of knowing him. I know that I know because there is a desire in me to do right. There's a desire in me to keep his commandments. But I also got to the point where I realized that God doesn't love me any less if I make a mistake and don't keep one. He doesn't love me anymore because he's keeping a record. Well, you know, there's no black marks against you. I tell you what, don't you count on that. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's not going to be any marks against you. You're going to stand faultless before him. But it's not because you kept a clean slate. Because just like Ricardo said earlier, no sin is greater than the other one. God doesn't see a drug dealer as any more of a sinner than a gossip or a talebearer. And I got that from Scripture. It talks about gossips and talebearers. It doesn't say anything in there about drug dealers. The question is, do you know that you know him? He's my king. Do you know him? Let's stand. I bet you some of you read the bulletin this morning and thought I was going to preach out of Thessalonians and Timothy. Fooled you, didn't I? I'll get to that later. But that's a question. It's always before us. Do you know him? I wake up sometime singing about him in my mind, you know, just singing songs, some of the songs. This week particularly on that one, God is real. He lives inside me. God is real, this I know. Then his son to die on Calvary. Now I'm one of his own. And I know it. And I don't stop being one of his own because I make a mistake. The only way I stop being one of his own is if I quit believing that I am. He who believes until the end shall be saved. So just keep on keeping on. Following the Lord, trusting the Lord, letting the Word of God develop your life, change you into being like He is, performance-wise. It's awesome that God sees us like He is now. The way we are now, God sees us like Jesus. But he says, now, improve yourself. Bring yourself to a successful conclusion. And I'm with you. And I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be there every time you ask. It's a challenge. The devil will put thoughts in your mind you don't need to entertain. And that'll happen to all of us. And I'm not talking about impure thoughts necessarily. But he'll tell you, you're not any good, you're not gonna make it. You know what you don't know God. How do you know this? How you know, I mean, what are you going to do if this happens? You're going to trust God. If you hear that little question, what are you going to do if this happens? And you say, I don't know. You know what that indicates? A little unbelief. Like the man whose son was healed by Jesus. Jesus talked to him and he said, what do you mean if I can? With God, all things are possible. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You got any unbelief, God will help you get rid of it. But you got to decide you're going to believe, not question. You're going to believe all that God said and all that Jesus has done. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the love you gave us. Thank you, Lord God, for revealing yourself to us and putting your spirit inside of us so that we can walk with you, so that we can know you. And I just thank you, Lord God, for being with all your children, watching after them in this week to come, helping them with all the situations that they have to face. Thank you for being the blessing. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us enough to send your son for us. In Jesus' name. I don't forget the offering that